This is an LTD Entertainment presentation.
Welcome to Brian C. Pusey's Safe Haven Podcast, where our aim is to encourage, enhance, and advance you to the next level on your Christian journey. We're prayerful that you'll stick around and listen to the message that God has for you, delivered by yours truly, Reverend Brian C. Pusey. The door is open. Let's go in together. Welcome to Safe Haven Podcast. I'm your host, Reverend Brian C. Pusey. I want to thank you for taking this wonderful time on this Good Friday to tune into our Good Friday service. Today's service is going to be a blessing. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have seven beautiful ministers of the Lord coming at you. They're going to be presenting each word in order, of course, one through seven. So therefore, without further ado, we're going to introduce to you a man that I am so familiar with and proud to call brother in arms. And also, at one point in my journey, also was my Sunday school teacher. Matter of fact, he still is my Sunday school teacher. So therefore, I'm always learning something from him. He's a very wise man, very knowledgeable, and also just a very great person to be around. He serves as associate minister at New Faith Baptist Church International in Madison, Illinois, where his pastors are the Reverend Dr. Trunell and Reverend Dr. Alexis Felder. So the next speaking voice you'll hear after a brief prayer will be none other than the Reverend Jerry Whitaker. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you right now. Thank you right now for the words that are about to come forth. Right now, just empty out the spirit of every minister that's coming forth and fill them with your Holy Ghost, oh Heavenly Father. Let the words of their mouths and the meditation of their hearts be found acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, the most blessed Redeemer. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Our scripture text will be coming from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. And the word of God says, when they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a far cry removed from just 1 week prior. It was a triumphant entry into the holy city. Here he was, the long-awaited Messiah, descending from Mount Olivet, which towered over Jerusalem. His ascension could not be missed. All eyes were on him. The adoring throng adored the roadways, placing palms along the road, crying, Hosanna, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But this is a lesson not to be missed or ignored, as to how fragile and inconsistent the human mind and the heart are. How easily the sin that grips us all can manifest as something unrecognizable that corrupts our very being. Because just a mere 5 days later, we find that no doubt many of the adoring throng who watched Jesus descend from Mount Olivet now stand at another mount shaped like a skull known as Calvary. The one that they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, for is now hanging from a Roman cross. Roman soldiers no doubt have felt that they have carried out their solemn duty to Rome. Jesus has been scourged. His flesh has been torn by the metal tips from the Roman whip known as the scourge. He has been dressed in purple by the Roman soldiers with a crown of thorns placed on his bloody brow. He has been mocked by not only his persecutors, but even by a thief on a cross next to him. He is being tormented and persecuted. Why? Because he healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He taught, love thy neighbor. And now he hangs from the cross, his soul suspended somewhere between time and eternity. Jesus, in a voice audible enough for those around him to hear, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a declaration. What love. What grace that is being offered up from a bloody cross. Who is Jesus asking forgiveness for? No doubt for the Roman soldiers who are crucifying him. In the opinion, no doubt, they have carried out their duty, but listen carefully as to why Jesus is interceding from the cross on their behalf. It's because they know not what they do. As a toddler who runs unknowingly into the street, as a child who touches a burning stove, as a man who fails to live a life apart from grace and God, it's because they know not what they do. They did not know that they were killing the God-man, he who was fully man yet fully God. They did not know that the one who they delivered to the hill called Calvary was in effect delivering them. Despite the pain and the suffering, Jesus finds the love to forgive. He dispenses grace in the midst of his suffering. He showers mercy from a blood-stained cross. This scene is peppered and punctuated with principles that, when personally practiced, can lead us to a more productive Christian life. It teaches us the power of forgiveness and why we should forgive. Number one, Jesus commanded us to forgive. Mark 11 says that whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you and your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So it is very important that we forgive so that our Father in heaven forgives us. Number two, we forgive because people know not what they do. Ephesians 6 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world. Because sin has corrupted us all, it is very important to separate people from sin. Number three, we forgive because Jesus forgave us. Romans 5 says that God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Forgiveness is not easy sometimes, but our goal and our consolation is that we are becoming more like Christ every day. 1 Peter says that for this you have been called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so you might follow in his footsteps. The book of Acts records that a young man named Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr, was being stoned by a bloody, thirsty mob. And as the life was leaving his body, he looked to heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And while they were stoning him, he cried, Lord, forgive them. Do not hold this sin against them. The Bible records that standing there listening was a young man named Saul, who was persecuting Christians. Saul later became the Apostle Paul. Early church father St. Augustine says that the church owes Stephen for Paul because of his prayer of forgiveness. Let us not ever underestimate the power of forgiveness and the freedom that those who give and those who receive gain from the power of forgiveness. It is important that we forgive because we serve a God who has forgiven us our sins. The Bible tells us that while we were enemies of God, that God could not look upon us. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, for the atoning death to free us from the penalty and the power of sin. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. So we forgive. We forgive when we think we can't forgive. We forgive those who are unlovable. We forgive those who cannot even forgive us. Because it only takes one person to forgive. When we don't forgive, it's like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. So we want to be more like Christ, who had to forgive us because forgiveness is who God is. It is an attribute of God. It is his grace. It is his mercy that he dispenses to us freely. So as we prepare for this Resurrection Sunday, or perhaps you call it Easter Sunday, let's remember these words from the cross that Jesus uttered. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we stand into your presence today, asking you, God, to be with us, Lord, as we try to become more like you. Father, we recognize, God, and we understand that forgiveness sometimes is not hard, as we are just mere mortals born out of sin. But most gracious God, our desire is to be like you, God. So, Father, give us a heart of forgiveness. Let us go forth forgiving those who have trespassed against us. Because, Father, we want to stand clean in your presence. We want to be more like you, Father. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we forgive those who have hurt us. We forgive those who have wronged us, God. We forgive our enemies, God. We pray for our enemies. And we thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. Because it is not by our strength, but it is by your Holy Spirit's power that we can forgive. We thank you. We bless your name. We give it the glory that it deserves. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.
What a beautiful word from Reverend Whitaker. We once again thank you, Reverend Whitaker, for your contribution on the first word of Jesus. Moving along, I'm so proud to introduce this next minister. I can pretty much say that this minister is close to my heart because it's someone that through God chose me to be one of their mentors in the faith. Someone I've known for a very long time. She's pretty much new to the ministry, but new to being in the ministry, but not new to the ministry. In addition to wearing many hats, one of the most current hats that they are wearing right now is they host their own podcast, followed me into podcasting as well. She is the host of the Amazing Magnet Woman podcast. The next speaking voice you'll hear after a brief prayer of invocation is Minister Jessica Funches. Let's give God praise for her. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you right now for the word that's about to come forth. pray that you just bless Minister Jessica as she comes forth with the word, oh Heavenly Father. You just empty out her spirit and just fill her up with your Holy Ghost right now, Heavenly Father. Let her praise the Lord in the way that she knows how. So right now, Heavenly Father, just be with her, touch her, and bless her. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that this message is received and is a blessing. Readings from Luke 23 and 36 through 43, New King James Version. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Then shortly after he speaks these words, the next section of the scripture is Jesus dies on the cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless his name. They accused Jesus. So why wouldn't they accuse you? Bless the name of the Lord. We are truly blessed now. Magnify your God and not the situation. Magnify God. Period. The situation is only an event. Emotions are not attached. We attach emotions to events. It doesn't have to be that way, though. We can be the peace. We can be the joy. We can have the light. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. God gives us everything that we need. Come and put on the full armor of God. Magnify his holy name. Rebuke the devil. Rebuke the lies. Rebuke Satan. Tell it, "You ain't invited, devil." Tell your situation, "You ain't invited into my emotions, devil." Tell everyone that God says, I will be with him in paradise. Tell everyone about the goodness of the Lord and how he made a way for you and for me. We are blessed now. Believe with all of your might. If you get tired, take a rest. Praise the Lord anyway. Revive, rebuild, renew, refresh. You are amazing. Why else would God invite you to paradise? We're blessed now. Hands down, we are truly blessed now. You're blessed now. I'm blessed now. We're blessed now. If you need more guidance, there are so many resources. There are so many churches, a good Bible-based church, a good leader that you connect with. Accept the Lord today. You can message me at FuntressLightFamily@FuntressLight.org. FuntressLightFamily@FuntressLight.org. Be blessed and be a blessing. Lord, I pray that this message was received and was a blessing. And Lord, you get all the honor. Amen.
Thank you, Minister Jessica, for your beautiful interpretation of the second word. The next speaker that we're going to have is someone that I can truly say is a mighty man of God. He does not let anything or anyone stop him or prevent him from getting out the word that the Lord has placed on his heart. And one of the most beautiful things I can say about him is he's family. He's my cousin. He's an amazing, amazing spirit. Someone that I can look to and see great things and say great things. I can't say anything greater than this. That he is a mighty man of God. He's an activist. He's out there. He makes sure he's fighting for civil rights and then some. But most importantly, he's fighting. He's on this journey for the Lord. So, Without further ado, the next speaking voice you're going to hear after a prayer of invocation is my cousin, Elder Joseph Pusely. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now we just want to say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity that is about to come forth. Right now, just pray that you pray prayer of blessing over Elder Pusely as he comes forth with the word that you have blessed on his heart, O Heavenly Father. Right now, let the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our most blessed strength and redeemer. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. God is a wonderful, awesome God. I'm giving praises to him that's continuously in my mouth. My name is Elder Joseph Pusely, Jr. I am from the Love of Christ Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. And I will give you one of the last seven words of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you the third word of Jesus. Coming out of the Gospel of John, and I'm going to start with the 26th and the 27th verse. Hear the word of God. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said to the disciples, Behold thy mother. From that hour that the disciples took her unto his home. I want to talk to you of a subject of behold your mother, or even mother, behold your child. Understand what we're talking about in this particular scripture. We're talking about why Jesus was on the cross dying and suffocating on the cross. His mother was at his side and she was weeping. And her sisters, they were weeping for her son, you know, because he was just being crucified. He was hung on the cross, and he was suffering. Understand that Jesus was telling the disciples that was standing with him, that hold his mother while she was grieving. I understand there are times that when we are in the grieving process, that God will take care of you. I understand that there's a lot of motherless child. Or there's even a mother even lost their child. I want to encourage the mothers on today that continue to cover your child, whether they're here or not. There's still motherless people that don't have a mother figure. But God is trying to tell you that behold your child in the midst of this storm. Behold your child in the midst of their greatness. God, understand that John was by his side. And in the 27th verse, then he said to his disciples, Behold thy mother. That simply means that we got to behold as children, not just a mother to behold us, but God has given us the ability to withhold our mother, our parents, especially when they've been going through from going to work or even going through hospitals if they are sick, or even doing this and doing that. We have to encourage our parents to keep on going on. Keep on taking care. Keep on living this life. Because this life ain't an easy life. Understand that when we're talking about behold, we're talking about look out. Look after our parents. Look after our loved ones. Because at this particular time, Christ's words was to the women who wept for him. See these women, Mary Magdalene, and all the other women that was there with John and the disciples watching Jesus die, they was weeping. How many of y'all been to a stage when you was weeping, you was moaning and weeping to the point where, amen, to the point where you don't even know how to go forward. You don't even know how to even be encouraged. I encourage you to all the mothers that continue to be a strong tower, because Jesus is a strong tower. I encourage you women to continue to live for God as much as you can and be strong for God for your children's sake. well, how can we prove this? If you read the Gospel of Luke, I'm going to use some references very briefly. If you read the Gospel of Luke, but Jesus turned it unto them on Luke 23:28. But Jesus turning unto them said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. Jesus was telling, so basically what Jesus was telling his mother and telling all his people that was weeping, he said, don't weep for me because I'm doing my Father's will. I'm supposed to be on this cross. I'm supposed to be saving people from their sins. I already did my mission, so don't weep for me. I'm telling somebody right now, I'm not saying don't weep for your lost loved ones. I'm not saying don't cry if they pass. I'm not saying, but God is saying to you that weep for the ones that they left behind. Good God Almighty. Weep for the ones that they left behind and watch over their children. Be strong for their children. Jesus was telling the disciples and his own mother in Luke, the 28th verse, and backed it up again, turning unto them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. So we got to cry for ourselves, but we can cry out to God. But don't cry out to the dead. Cry out to God. God said, I'm going to release some stress off you. I'm going to release some abilities out of you. I'm even going to release some healing out of you. But you got to continue to give me praise. Amen. Also, listen to what Luke 23:29 says to back what I'm saying. We're still on John 19:26-27. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the womb they never bear, and the paps will never gain back. Then they shall begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. Well, what does this mean, commentary-wise? And I'm almost finished. What does it mean, commentary-wise? Well, if we go back to the 26th and the 27th of John 19 chapter, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Mother, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciples took her unto his home. That means Jesus asked his close friend John, the writer of the gospel, to care for his mother. Mary, whose husband Joseph was probably dead by this time. Why didn't Jesus assign the task to his brothers? As an elder son, Jesus enlisted to his mother a person who stayed with him at the cross, and that it was John. So what I'm trying to tell you in my closing, that on this Resurrection Sunday, God said, I'm here to tell somebody, God is telling me to tell you that continue to be a mother figure. Continue to love your children. Don't weep for me, but weep for the glory. God said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I have joy on the inside because my mother was beheld me, and I'm going to behold my mother because God has given me this right to praise my parents. I ain't saying praise to your parents to the fact that you're praising the morning God. I'm simply saying that God wants you, amen. God wants you to be joyful in him. In spite of a death, in spite of the situation, God said, joy, give joy to me because your joy is your strength. Your joy is your confidence. Because the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So in my closing, to all the mothers, behold your child and children, behold your mother. I'm Elder Joseph T. Pusey. I'm from the Love of Christ Missionary Baptist Church. I want to say God bless you and good day.
thanking Elder Pusey once again for a mighty third word. Thank you for that, sir. We are so grateful for you. The next one is the fourth word. This one is a good one. Magistrate, I'm so honored and grateful to introduce the minister that's going to be bringing this word to you. He is a brother that I served with when I was associate pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ in Gary, where the pastor out there is Reverend Dr. John E. Jackson Sr. One of the beautiful things is he's the assistant pastor, but not only that, he's a mighty man of God. He is so full of life. I'm glad and grateful to call him my brother in arms, you know. And so the next speaking voice you're going to hear after the prayer of invocation and a brief sponsored segment will be the one and only Reverend Charles Dockery. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you right now for this brother. We pray that you just bless him, oh Heavenly Father. You just empty out his spirit, oh Heavenly Father, and fill him up with your Holy Ghost right now, Heavenly Father. We just pray that you just touch him and guide him in the way that you see fit, that the words of his mouth and the meditation of his soul be found acceptable in thy sight, oh Father. Oh, you are our most blessed and blessed Redeemer. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall be in my mouth. My soul makes his boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I give thanks to God for allowing me to be here this day. I give thanks to Reverend Brian Pusley. It's an honor to be on Brian Pusley Safe Haven podcast this day. As is my custom when invited to speak, I follow the Beatitudes. Blessed is the preacher who is brief, for he shall be invited back. The fourth word from the cross. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard this, said, this man is a calling Elijah. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and understanding of his holy word. Now the seven words from the cross are divided into two groups. In the first three, namely the prayer for his crucifiers, the word to the penitent thief, and the directions about his mother, our Lord was dealing with the interest of others. But in the last four, to which we now listen to, he is absorbed in his own concerns. This division is natural. Many a dying man, after arranging his affairs and saying his farewells, turns his face to the wall to encounter death and to be alone with God. It was highly characteristic of Jesus, however, before tuning to his own things, first to mind the things of others. This fourth word from the cross is a cry of agony. The fourth word from the cross is a sigh of relief, the relief of knowing that the Old Testament scripture has been fulfilled. This fourth word from the cross is also a cry for victory. Now, between these first three words uttered from the cross and the last four, there seems to have elapsed a long interval. From the sixth hour to the ninth, Jesus was silent. And during this interval, there was darkness over all the land. Of what precise nature this atmospheric effect may have been, it is impossible for me to say. But the evangelists, three of whom mention it, evidently consider it to have indicated, in some sense, the sympathy of nature with her Lord. Now, nature testified to the gravity of Jesus' death. It was as if the sun refused to look on such a deed of shame. It may be supposed that by this weird phenomenon, the noises round the cross were in some degree hushed. At length, Christ himself, who in a loud voice gave utterance to the fourth word from the cross and broke the silence with the word, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The words which he burst out of the trance is a cry of the lowest depths of despair. Indeed, it is the most appalling song that ever pierced the atmosphere of this earth. In the entire Bible, there is no other sentence so difficult to explain. Has anyone here ever been forsaken? Has anyone listening to this podcast ever been forsaken? Does anyone here this evening know what it means to be forsaken? Forsaken means to be abandoned or deserted. It means to be left in straits or left helpless. Ultimately, it means to be left behind in some place. I ask again, is there anyone listening to this podcast who has ever been forsaken? Now, all of his life, Jesus had been accustomed to find himself forsaken. The members of his own household rejected him at an early age. So did his fellow townsmen in Nazareth. Ultimately, the nation at large followed the same course. The multitudes that at one time followed him wherever he went and hung upon his lips eventually took offense and went away. At last, in the crisis of his fate, one of the nearest followers, Judas, betrayed him, and the rest forsook him and fled. These were not just folks riding his jock. These were his boys, his crew, his ride or die homies. This was the inner circle. But in these disappointments, though he felt them keenly, he had always had one resource. He was always able, when rejected of men, to turn away from them and cast himself with confidence on the breath of God. But now it appeared for the time being that God had left him also. There can be little doubt that there was a physical element in it. He now spent a considerable time on the cross, and every minute the agony was increasing. The wounds in his hands and feet, exposed to the atmosphere and the sun, grew barked and hardened. The blood impeded its circulation, swelled his heart and brain till these organs were about to burst. And the slightest attempt to move his body from one intolerable posture caused pains to shoot along his quivering nerves. Bodily suffering clouds the brain and distorts the images formed on the mirror of the mind. Even the face of God reflected here may have turned to a shape of terror by the fumes of physical trouble. The horror of mortal suffering may have been greater to Jesus than the other men. You see, his body had never been coarsened with sin, and therefore death was utterly alien to it. The stream of physical life, which is one of the precious gifts of God, had poured through his frame in abundant and sunny tides. But now it was being withdrawn, and the counterflow had to set in. The unity of the perfect nature was being violently torn asunder, and he felt himself drifting away from the living world, which to him had been so full of God's presence and goodness, into the pale, cold regions of emptiness. He did not belong to death, yet he was fallen into the death's grasp. No angel could come and rescue him. God interposed with no miracle to arrest the issue. He was abandoned to his faith. If this was not enough, church, God was now dealing with him not as a loving and merciful father with child, but as an offended and righteous judge with an evil doer. The Heavenly Father now regards his son as the greatest sinner to be found beneath the sun and discharges on him the whole weight of his wrath. This was a cry of agony. Not only was this a cry of agony, this was a sigh of relief. the relief of the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture, Matthew is interested in the fact that the death of Jesus is the fulfillment of the will and purpose of God as given in the Old Testament. The darkness that covered the earth may well echo the prophet Amos in Amos 8 and 9, and it shows the displeasure of the Lord. My God, why have you forsaken me? It is a direct quotation from Psalms 22:1, where a righteous man suffers injustice. Jesus quoting 22:1 may have been part of the scripture recitation at this time of day. His haters fail to realize that this psalm ends with the sufferer's vindication and triumph. The dividing of his clothes by the casting of lot echoes Psalm 22:18. The offer of wine vinegar reflects the sentiments of Psalm 69:21, where unjust suffering was unrelieved. This was a cry of relief. This was the fulfillment of his autobiography. This autobiography that was punctuated with a comma was now concluding with a period. Crying out uncontrollably in agony with these words of this psalm shows that as horrible as it is, it was going according to the plan. As of it was the full, all of it was the fulfillment of scriptures. Even the worst of it was the fulfillment of scriptures. And the moment was probably the worst moment in the history of the world. It was scripture fulfilled. Finally, this fourth word of the dying Savior was a cry of victory. Reverend Dockery, how can this be a cry of victory? I'm glad you asked. Thus the will of Jesus, in the very moment when his faith seems about to yield, is finally triumphant. It has no feeling now to support it, no beatific vision to absorb it. It stands naked in his soul and tortured as he stood naked and scorched before Pilate. Pure and simple and surrounded by fire, it declares for God. The sacrifice of sins in the cry, my God. The cry comes not out of happiness, not out of peace, not out of hope. Not even out of suffering comes that cry. It was a cry in desolation, but it came out of faith. It is the last voice of truth, speaking when it can but cry. The divine horror of that moment is unfathomable by human soul. It was blackness out of darkness, and yet he would believe. I have got a promise, and my God will not despise me in the end. He will take me back, yet he would hold fast. God was his God. See how Jesus lays hold of the eternal with both hands, as one in deep water, feeling no bottom, makes a despairing plunge towards forward and lands on solid ground. So Jesus, in this very act of uttering his despair, overcame his despair. Feeling forsaken of God, he rushed into the arms of God, and these arms closed around him in loving protection. Peace followed, the peace of a perfect soul, large as the universe, pure as light, passionate as life, victorious for God. Accordingly, as the darkness which had brooded over all the land disappeared at the ninth hour, so his mind emerged from eclipse, and he was safe, safe in his Father's arms. I'm so glad that trouble don't last all day. I'm so glad that weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I tell you, church, if you keep silent, these very stones will cry out. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let any stones outpraise me. Good night, church, and may the Lord bless you real good. The fourth word from the cross, and I'm Reverend Charles Dockery. Make it a great day.
What a mighty powerful word that from Reverend Dockery. I have to admit, that was amazing. so powerful. And we're so grateful for God for you. The next minister that we're going to have is a very long friend of mine. We used to be colleagues on the same job together. When we met, it was an instant connection in terms of ministry. We connected through our love of Christ. And that's always a beautiful thing when you can connect to someone through the love of Christ. And found out that she was a minister and back then, and I've supported her on occasions. And I figure that today was a great day to allow her a great opportunity to give this word. It's going to be the fifth word. And I can't wait to hear what the Lord has blessed her with. And so the next speaking voice you're going to hear, she'll let you know a little bit more about herself. But the next, I believe she will. The next speaking voice you're going to hear is from my very good friend, my sister in this journey, Minister Renee Cunningham Luckett. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you right now for Minister Renee and the word that you have blessed her with right now, Heavenly Father. Just empty out her spirit, oh Heavenly Father, and let the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be found acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord, the most blessed Redeemer. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, my name is Renee Cunningham. I am a minister at Crown of Glory International Outreach Ministries, which is located in Hammond, Indiana, adjacent to the Mosley Motel at 6200 Milton Road. My pastors are Pastor Michael Trask and Freddie Trask, and I am so grateful to be here. And I give thanks to the shepherd of the Safe Haven Ministries, Brian Pusely, for giving me the opportunity to come before you all today. I just thank him so much for that. Today, I will be speaking on the fifth word of Jesus before he passed on the cross. That is coming from John 19 and 28, which is, I thirst. When we read that scripture, it says Jesus knew his mission was finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. Verse 29, a jar of sour wine was sitting there, and they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. So many times in life, we look at things and we may not see them in the way that we should. When I looked at the word thirst, I thirst, and I looked at how many different ways did Jesus thirst, I came up with at least three. First, he had a physical thirst. He had been beaten, battered, and bruised. He had to carry his own cross to the crucifixion site. Can you imagine at this time, after enduring all these things, that he was truly physically thirsty? Thirsty for what would seem reasonable would be water. But what did they give him? They gave him a bitter wine. Man gave him a bitter wine. So many times in life, we look to man before we look to God. And what happens when we look to man? We don't get what we're supposed to have. We get things that are, first of all, not beneficial to us, that are not helpful to us. So we have to stop looking to man first when we get into situations, when we get into our trials and tribulations. We have to know that we need to go to God first. We have to know that he is the one who made us, so that why would we not go to the one who made us? When you want to know something about a car, do you go to a hairstylist? No, it makes no sense. So when we want to go to someone in need of help, we should go to the one who designed us, who made us, who created us. So when we think of that, we need to think of God, because he is the ultimate creator. He is the ultimate designer of what all we see in us and through us. So we need to know that even though we may be beat down, broken, battered, and bruised by this world, God knows what's going on. He sees our pain. He will meet us at our point of need, and he will take care of us. He said that he loved us and knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. So why wouldn't he be able to take care of any situation that came forth in our lives? So we have to focus on going to him and allowing him to lead us to whom he knows is best for us in each and every situation. It says that he was physically beaten, battered, and bruised, but not broken. Not one bone in his body was broken. You can find that in John 19, verse 33 and 36. So many times in life, we deal with situations, and we do have a thirst for something, but that thirst can only be quenched by our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. The second thirst that I came upon when I was doing this study was a thirst for love, guidance, and help. When Jesus got on the cross for our sins, not for anything that he did, when he took on our sins, it separated him from the love of God, because he took on what we had so that we may be closer to Christ, so we may be closer to God. So in the midst of doing this, he was separated from God, not because of anything that he did, but because of the love that he had for us and the desire to bring us closer to God. So that was a second kind of thirst that he had, for the love of his Father, because our sin separated him from God. And the third kind of sin, the third kind of thirst was a love for the people and their salvation, a love for us, because who would take on such a journey, such an ordeal, such a trial, unless they loved us? When we look at John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, when he was at the well talking to the Samaritan woman, and he told her that he was tired and from his journey, and that he asked her for water. But then in the same conversation, he also told her that if you allow me to give you water, the water that I give you is eternal water, and you would never thirst again. So many times we look to man, and we constantly have to go back to be replenished. But when we look to God and he fulfills our thirst, that is an eternal quenching, an eternal fulfilling of what we need. When we go to John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, it reads, "On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, 'Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart.'" When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because he had not yet entered into his glory. When Jesus entered into glory, he released the Holy Spirit for us so that it would be our comforter, so that it would be our protector, so that we would have a piece of him still here with us daily. We have to know that when he died on the cross for us, he wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be set free. He wanted us to be loved and to experience the love of God. And the only way for us to experience that was for him giving up his life, the purity that he was, to take on what we are. We are sinners set free by the love of Christ. And it shows, because who else would die for us but someone who loved us dearly? We have to know that no matter what we go through, no matter what this world puts upon us, no matter what we see, that God is always there for us, that he is always making a way for us, that he gave his only begotten son so that we can be loved, so that we could be set free, so that we would not have to go through anyone else as a mediator to be close to him, but that we could have a personal relationship with him. So don't let the world tell you that you've done too much to be loved by God, that you've sinned that one sin too many times and he can't love you, because I know that I've done so many things repeatedly, and the enemy wants me to believe that I'm not worthy, that I can't. But God said that I've already sent my son for your sins. I knew what you were going to do before you were even born. He said, I knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. So I already knew each and everything that you were going to do from the time you were born to the time you came home. And I still chose you and I still love you. So we have to know that this world does not dictate God's love for us. And we should not allow it to hinder us from drawing closer to him, from being with him, and from knowing that he is our one and only true God, our Savior, and the lover of our souls. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Praise God for Minister Renee. We thank you for your message today. Right now, without further ado, we're going to be going right into the sixth word. And the minister that's going to be presenting it to you is an amazing woman. Amazing woman. She wears many hats. And to me, the three best hats that she wears happens to be mother, wife, and minister. Minister is, and wife and mother. That is one of the most beautiful things I can say about this person I've known for some time now, for a couple of years or more. And one of the most beautiful things that I can say is she has a warm spirit, warm soul. And by the time you're done listening to what the Lord has given her, you're going to say the same thing. So without further ado, the next speaking voice you're going to hear after a prayer invocation will be Minister Rosalind Prince McPherson. Let's give God praise for her. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you right now for the minister that's about to bring forth the word, oh Heavenly Father. You just cover her and her ministry and her walk and her journey, oh Heavenly Father, right now. Empty out her spirit and fill her up with your soul, your spirit, oh Heavenly Father. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let the words of her mouth and the meditations of her soul be found as acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our most blessed Redeemer. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to want to thank everyone for listening to this podcast and wish you a blessed Good Friday. This is a time where we reflect back on what Jesus done for us and the power of Him raising from the grave. My name is Minister Prince McPherson of the New Hope Christian Community Church in Moni, Illinois. My message comes from the Gospel of John, John 19:30. From the New King James Version, John 19:30 states, "So when Jesus have received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Now I'm going to say that one more time for you. "So when Jesus have received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." My title for today is, "It's Your Turn." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We pray that your Holy Spirit be with the preaching. Let it show all of you, dear God. Let your word go out and be planted into our people. We thank you for the work your son done on the cross. And Father, we ask you to help us continue to grow and be better people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, have you ever worked on something, was trying to complete the work, and when it was done, you felt so good, like you accomplished so much? Well, that's how Jesus felt at the moment. Jesus said, "It is finished. It's done. It's signed. It's sealed. It's complete. It's paid in full." It don't matter how you say it, it is finished. My question is, what is finished? They talk about in the Bible his commission to preach the gospel to the poor in Luke 4:18-43, to bring life in John 10:10, to destroy the devil's work in 1 John 3:8, to bring fire upon the earth in Luke 12:49, and also to testify to the truth in John 18:37. Now, that all seem to have the same meaning and the same purpose, and that is to save us from our sin. They talk about saving from the sin in so many places in the Bible. One of my favorites is Mark 10:45, and it says, "Even the Son of Mankind not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came for a purpose, to complete the mission to die for mankind, to pay the price for our sin. The greatest mission ever planned came to its end. The eternal plan of God to bring mankind back to him through the sacrifice of his own son, Jesus Christ. Jesus knew what the mission was. At the beginning was not good for Jesus. He went through some stuff like we all go through when we're trying to get something done. The beginning is not pretty, but when you get to that finish line, maybe I'm not getting to some of y'all, because some of y'all never finish anything you started, so you don't know the feeling. He has finished his race. Jesus said, "It is finished, and by his stripes we are healed. My God will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory." Jesus cried from the cross as a shout of victory, "It is finished." For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put together in the body that made alive in the spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. It is finished. It is done. Signed, sealed, because of the blood of Jesus. He has finished the work that his Father has instructed him to do. He has finished now. He has finished now. It's time to do your job. This leads me to my topic. It's your turn. I remember running track back in college. I ran on the 4x4 relay team. I was the last leg. For those of you not familiar with track or relay teams, each runner takes turn running their lap. And when they complete their lap, they pass the baton over to the next person to complete it until the last person finally make it to the finish line. You are a team. And if one person don't do their job, the whole team can lose. I use this as an example because Jesus finished his race and hand the baton to you. It's your turn. Jesus did his part. Now it's your turn to do yours. Some of you start stuff but make every excuse of why you haven't finished. I know I'm getting to some of y'all. You run into some hurdles, and instead of jumping over them, running around, or pushing them over, however you need to get around them, you just stop. You just stop. Now, when I was in track, after I got my baton, if I would just stop, it would not look good for me. My teammate did her job. Now it was my turn to do my job so we can make it to the finish line. Jesus didn't quit. Jesus didn't stop. He made it to the finish line and said, "It is finished." He completed his mission. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see him from the beginning to the end. When Jesus came, no one knew who he was. Throughout his life, he had to show us who he was. He began ministering to people. At the end of his journey, it was better than the beginning. So I'm here to tell a lot of you today, it might look bad at the beginning of your race, but when you get to that finish line, when it's completed, it looks so much better. Let me say that again. It might look bad at the beginning of your race, but when you get to that finish line, it looks so much better. Right now, Jesus on the cross, even though it looks bad at the beginning, but at the end, it's even better. I used to run those hurdles, and every so often, there's always a hurdle in the way that I had to jump over it to keep going. It took a lot of energy just to jump over the hurdle. Well, sometimes I will fall, but y'all know what? When I fall, I got right back up. It was hard sometimes, but one thing I love is when I made it to that finish line and had the feeling that it was finished. It was time that I was in last place, but I was so happy because I finished. Y'all ain't getting me today. It's not how you start or how you run the race. It's that you finish. Finish the work that God has for you. Jesus finished his mission and he handed you the baton. Now it's your turn to finish your mission. I came to tell somebody who's running out of energy at their last rope or someone who fell down. You may fall down, but God will pick you up. So it's okay to fall as long as you get back up and finish the race. Never give up. You didn't come to this race to quit, to give up, to throw in the towel. God brought you here to finish the work that he has for you. When Jesus said it is finished, he said the debt is paid in full. Jesus paid it all on the cross. He stayed on that cross to die for you and me. He knew he was going to die. He knew it was going to be a horrible death. He knew it. But he stayed on the battlefield until it was finished. He said when he started that the Spirit of the Lord is on him. Jesus said it's finished, y'all. He didn't say he is finished. Come on now, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I don't think y'all heard me. Jesus said it is finished. But he didn't say he is finished. He wasn't finished yet. After he drunk the wine, hung his head, and died. And after he laid up in that burial place, but on Sunday morning, he got up with all power. He got up, y'all. Come on. We all know. Y'all know what the song say. That's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. That's love. 3 days later, he rose again. My God, my God. Jesus. Do y'all not hear what I'm saying? It is finished. He hung on that cross where he died. But 3 days later, Sunday, he rose again. If Jesus can do all that for us, we owe it to him to complete whatever mission that God has for us. Y'all don't understand. He sacrificed for us so we can be forgiven. It's like having a clean slate. No greater love. Something about that song just get to me. It's just thinking about Jesus up there and what he went through for us. You should be able to grab that baton from Jesus with proud and joy that he's saying it's your turn now. It's your turn. It's your turn to carry on because I carried on what God had for me and it's finished now. So now, it's in your hands. I hope y'all are listening today. It's your turn to carry on and do what God has for you to do. Get to that finish line. He didn't quit. He finished so that you can finish too.
He already saved you. He already made a way. Just when you seem like it's finished, it's not finished. It's your turn. He handed you the baton. Now it's up to you to finish the rest of the way. You got to do your part. You got a part to play too. He said, I finished on the cross, but when I got up, I gave you the evidence that I was not done. I gave you the evidence that you should have victory. I gave you the evidence that you should never give up. I gave you the evidence that you have victory. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he died for you and me because it is finish. It's finished. It's finished, y'all. And because he finished, it's your turn to finish the work that he gave you. It's your turn now. Finish the race. Finish. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Finish the race. He handed you the baton. It's your turn now. I'll see you at the finish line.
giving God praise for Minister McPherson for her mighty, 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 mighty message. Thankful for her. Next up is the seventh word of Jesus. The minister that's going to be presenting us with the seventh word is a very, very, very good friend of mine, a sister in the ministry, sister in Christ, and pretty much in my mind and in my heart, like a true sister to me, a true big sister. Know her from Covenant United Church of Christ, where the pastor is Reverend Dr. Patrick Damon, senior pastor, and Reverend Ozzie E. Smith Jr., the pastor emeritus. The next speaking voice you're going to hear is from Reverend Tabrasia Trinet after a short prayer of invocation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for the minister that is about to bless us with a mighty word, oh Heavenly Father. I pray that you just empty out her spirit, oh Heavenly Father, and fill her up with your Holy Ghost, oh Heavenly Father. Continue to work with her, guide her, use her the way that you see fit. Let not her words be shown. Let your words shine, oh Heavenly Father. So right now, just pray this prayer of blessing, prayer of invocation, oh Heavenly Father. Let the words of her mouth and the meditations of her heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our most blessed Redeemer. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Happy Good Friday to you. Hello, I'm Reverend Tabrasia Trinet, and I feel so very blessed to be here today to share the seventh word of Christ with you. And it reads, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And that's in Luke 23:46. That's Luke 23:46. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, most gracious and wonderful Father, Lord, I just thank you for another chance to stand before your people and give your word in your way, Lord. Lord, I ask that you take Tabrasia out of self. Let me decrease and you increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be truly acceptable in your sight, dear Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, I ask that you cover each and every person who are under the sound of my voice. I ask that you cover their minds, their spirits, and their hearts, dear Lord. Lord, let them be fertile ground to receive the word that you have for them today. I don't know what they need, Lord, but you know. And I know that you are the provider of all needs. You are our good, good shepherd. We shall not want for anything. So I ask you, Lord, that you give them all of their needs and some of their wants. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for doing whatever it is you want to do in this here service. We welcome you into this specific time, Lord. We ask for your covering, your blessings, and we uplift you in every way. You are worthy to be praised. In the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 So, the scripture reads, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Our brother Jesus is talking here. He's at the very end of his journey. Where we meet Jesus here, he's not in the happiest of places. He's hanging on the cross. He's been beaten, bloodied, bruised, and even still, he's trusting in his daddy. Have you been beaten, bruised, hurt? Can you too trust in your daddy? Jesus on the cross is telling God,
have much left, Lord, but I'm giving you all that I have. Can you imagine Daddy God looking down on his son, beaten, battered, bruised, but willing to give all that he has left to God? At that point, Jesus is saying, I don't have much, Lord, but I give you what I have. I trust you with what I have. I commend my spirit because that's what I have left right now, Lord. Are you willing today to give God what you have left? Are you willing today to trust God with whatever it is that you have? At this moment, our brother Jesus is dying in his physical body. But are you willing right now to die in the spirit? Are you willing right now to die to self? Are you willing to get rid of what you thought you needed, thought you wanted to have, thought you should be doing, and take on what God wants you to have, wants you to do, wants you to be? Are you willing to give God complete control over your life? God is calling. Can you hear him? God is calling his people right now to obedience. He is calling you to do that thing which he made you for. That one thing, two things, three things for some of us, even four. Me, I'm a jack of all trades. God has blessed me with many abilities. And I, you know, in any given moment, I have to check in with God and see what he wants me to be doing and which one of his blessings he wants me to be using at that moment for that particular time. So I ask you, are you willing? Are you ready to give God complete control over your life? God is calling. Are you ready to answer? Jesus says to God, Lord, I trust you. In Luke 23 and 46, Jesus offers his soul for us, not for what he's done, but as a ransom for our lives. He didn't just offer God his earthly body. He offered God even his innermost self. He offered God what he had. Now, I know there are some of you out there who are in a place where you feel like you've done so much wrong that God doesn't want you. Yes, he wants even you. God knows everything you've done. Yep, that too. He knows who you've done it with. Yep, them too. God knows for how long you did it. And he still wants you. He still loves you. God knows that it's more to you than what the eyes can see because he built you. He built you. He lovingly formed you. God knew that you were going to do what you did even before you did it. And he loves you anyway. Remember, God is the one who, according to Psalms 139:13, who knitted you together in your mother's womb. He knew then who you'd be today. And he decided then that he would love you today. He decided then that you were worthy. He thought you were worth saving. He thought you were to die for. So he sent his son to die for you. God knew you in your mother womb, your mother's womb. But God wants you. He's calling you, but God won't take you. God will not take you. He wants you to willingly come to him. God is standing there with his arms outstretched, just like the father and the prodigal son. Y'all know the story. There was a young man who came of age and he wanted everything that was due to him when his father died, even as his father was still living. And his father gave it to him with no problem. The boy went out with his riches and he lived it up. He partied until he just couldn't party no more. He did everything that he was big enough and better enough to do. He drank all he could drink, ate all he could eat. He partied with the people, right? He had all the friends. until the money ended and his friends went away. And all the things went away. And he found himself in the lowest of the low places. He was alone, lonely, hungry, cold, wanting. And there was nobody to be found. And finally, this Jewish man found a job feeding the pigs. Now, I don't know if you know much about Jewish culture, but even today, Jews have nothing to do with pigs because pigs are seen as unclean. So he found himself doing something that was unthinkable. Have you ever found yourself doing something that unthinkable just so you could get by? That's where he was at. Doing the unthinkable, doing something against his character just to get by. But then one day he came to himself. The Holy Spirit brought it into his spirit that he should go back to his father's house. And so he said, if my father would just take me in, if my father would just give me, let me be a servant in his house, I would just be okay. I don't have to be a son anymore. I would be a servant and I'd be okay. So he went back to his father's house. And as it so happens, that as he was on his way back, trying to figure out what he was going to say to his daddy, his daddy was already on the porch looking for him. Your daddy is looking for you. He's waiting on you. So as you make your way back to your daddy is already waiting with open arms for you. So as he was walking back to his daddy ran towards him. And as he was coming towards his daddy was already preparing for him. He told the servants, look, my son who was once lost is now found. Let's make a feast for him. Let's rejoice that he has come back to his rightful place. God is waiting on you right now. And as you're coming back, as you're deciding to come back to God, God has his arms open and he's running towards you and he's preparing. He has his angels preparing a meal, a feast for you. So as you come back to join him in your rightful place, God is calling. Can you hear him? God wants you to come back to him. God wants you to give yourself to him. Our brother Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God is calling you today. Are you willing to die to self and live in Christ? Are you ready to be resurrected with the risen one? Are you ready to let go of all those things that have been holding you down? Are you ready to give God your life? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? God is calling. God is calling. Are you ready to answer? If you're ready to answer, bow your heads right now and say this quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I am ready. I commend my life to you, dear Lord. I recognize Jesus has died on the cross for me and my sins. I thank you, Lord, for saving me on this day. I accept you into my life. I accept you as the head of my life. I thank you for choosing me, and I will humbly serve you the best way that I know how. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen. God is calling. Will you answer?
God is calling. God is calling. Now, will you answer that call? I pray you do. I'd like to thank Reverend Tabrasia for her mighty, mighty message to us today. As a matter of fact, I want to thank every minister on that came out today and to preach the seven last words with us at Safe Haven Podcast. I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well, be it a first-time listener, returning listener, or just a listener who just happened to hear about this because you're connected with one of the people who blessed us with a message today. So I'm prayerful that you all will come back and tune in again. Matter of fact, I drop a new message every Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Matter of fact, if you subscribe and follow me, you'll be able to get first tips on the message. And hopefully you share it, as one of my models are, subscribe, share, and listen. So I'm prayerful of that as well. So I just want to thank you all for coming out. Pray that you all have a blessed Resurrection Day weekend or blessed Easter weekend. And God bless you all. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you for each and every minister that came out here today to give us a word. Give us a blessed word, O Heavenly Father. We pray that it touched us in a way that we'll be able to share it with others, O Heavenly Father. Right now, I just want to pray that you continue to cover every minister that and their families right now, Heavenly Father. Pray that you just continue to bless them in a mighty way. Bless every listener, O Heavenly Father, who's under the sound of my voice. Oh, Lord, our blessed Redeemer. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, guys, don't worry. These ministers will be invited back again at a later date to do an individual service on, and I can't wait for that. And in the meantime, I'm Reverend Brian C. Pusley for Brian C. Pusley Safe Haven Podcast. Wish you a blessed day. If you're enjoying this wonderful podcast and you want to hear more, please make sure that you click the follow or subscribe button on this wonderful podcast so you can stay up to date with the latest and the greatest and be able to listen to past podcasts that you have not yet heard before but want to hear again. Also, don't forget to click the share button. The share button is also important, so therefore you can share this podcast with all your friends, loved ones, and acquaintances. Look forward to hearing from you. Peace.
This was an LTD Entertainment presentation.